This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into today. We have some women's soccer news, which I'm very excited about. We got some coaching stuff happening that's really cool.
Yeah, a couple of stories.
Some good stories in that regard. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Of course, you can always tweet us at Bone Beam United. And I don't say this enough, but thank you to everybody who listens to the show. If you have a chance, I would appreciate it. So would Beam. If you would rate the show, go on, you know, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
And tell us how much we suck.
Leave us a review. That's fine. Tell us that we suck. It's all good. We actually like the feedback, but that'll help other people find the show if they so choose. And if they don't so choose, then that's fine too.
Got another listener who's a neighbor.
Oh,
Not neighbor Eric. Neighbor Eric, longtime listener.
Yeah.
But one of our other Twitter followers, Pogue Mahone, lives right down the street from me.
No kidding.
And we've been walking past each other, I feel like, for the last couple of years. And finally stopped. He's like, "Hey man." I said, "Hey man, what's up? You got a dog? I got a dog. Literally like a block and a half away from each other. Now we've been talking crew.
This is good. I like it that now it's basically like your friend group is going to be just people who listen to the soccer podcast.
To be
and that's
quite
great.
Fair, where I live in Columbus, I think is the crew capital of the city.
Oh yeah.
The crew
you
capital.
You are right there. Like Clintonville area.
Yeah.
Yep,
like
exactly.
Clintonville, Beachwall, like just south of Morris, like for every Ohio State flag that is in yard decoration, I feel like there's two crew flags or decorations to outnumber it.
I like this a lot. That's very good. Actually, you know what? Funny, because I know roughly the area you're talking about, and I know like at least three people that live there in that area that are also
in that region.
Like that I know through the crew. Like I know as crew fans, and it's like, oh, where do you live? Oh, they live in that same kind of area, a few blocks away.
All draws us together.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
And we go down to Bob's Bar and drink violently.
There we go. Drink violently. Mm-hmm. That's a good I want that on a shirt.
Drink violently?
No, I actually don't. Sounds people might take that the wrong way. I just mean it as like you're really getting after with the beer. I don't mean like drink and then go be violent.
Different connotations. I
just mean like you're like, give me a beer. And you're like throwing it down very with gusto.
Yeah.
Like you enjoy the beer.
Aggressive belch.
Yeah, like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So plenty to talk about with the crew. We are obviously going to start. Well, we'll start there in a second. I have to ask you this question before we get going. Someone asked this on Common Man and T-Bone yesterday, and it was such a good question. I'm going to ask you. The question was, if there was an album and a movie combined that someone said to you, hey, I want to get to know you. Tell me an album and a movie that would help me know you better and understand you a bit. What would you pick?
Ooh, that's a good question.
While you mull on that, my answer, if you didn't hear it on the show, was Under Oath. They're Only Chasing Safety, which is like a screamo hardcore album from 2004. And it's like there's metal elements, there's singy songy elements, there's some pop elements, there's some electronic, there's all kinds of stuff. But it's if you listen to that and go, okay, I understand what this is, you would then understand I like a lot of stuff that has elements of that album in it. So that's what I like. Idiocracy is the movie, which is all about a man.
Big Pauly Shore guy.
No. Luke Wilson.
Is Dax Shepard in that too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Luke
okay.
Wilson.
Yeah.
So Luke Wilson goes to, he's in a government experiment. It's him and Maya Rudolph.
Okay.
They are left in a government experiment where they're supposed to be put in a coma for a year and then they wake you up and you don't age at all, but you wake up a year younger than you would have been.
But they messed something up and they stayed in there.
They mess up. The government has like a
of course, that's the whole,
bar.
That's the whole point of the movie.
And they accidentally leave them like that for 500 years.
Do you have a song from the album?
Oh, man. I would say like, trying to think. There's the, I'm trying to think of which one has the chorus because all the names run together on that one, but it's the, what's like the fourth song on that album? Do you have the list?
Are
you looking?
I
thought you were looking at your computer when you said. I'll pull it up real quick. But just on the Idiocracy. Oh, it's Dangerous Business Walking Out Your Front Door. That's the song I was thinking of. That's the one I would say to start with. But Idiocracy. That guy wakes up. Luke Wilson wakes up, and he's the smartest man alive because society's gotten dumber over 500 years, and so then they look to him, President Camacho. looks to him to.
I don't even know if we're allowed to do this, but.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
I think we have the rights as a radio station.
We don't to play it on a podcast, but that's all right.
I think I can play 45 seconds.
If I talk over it, Spotify will probably flag it and take it down, but that's fine. We'll deal with that. So, there you go. Yeah, you're hearing it. It's fine. We can turn it down.
Okay. I think, is that illegal?
It is.
All right.
Spotify gets mad because then they're like, hey, you're playing a song and giving people a digital copy of a song. It's like, I don't think people want
it was a
that.
Hit. That was just a teaser.
Yeah, I know. Well, what is your album? What do you have? What are you looking at?
I feel like there's a lot. You threw that question at me pretty quick.
I know.
I've been through like just stages in my life, you know.
Yeah.
Different points. But I think the one that I go back to is probably An Awesome Wave by Alt-J.
Oh, I know you love Alt-J.
They're my guys.
Yeah.
Like I've loved them for a long, long time. And I want to say it was the 10th year anniversary of that album this year.
Okay.
So going back to 2013, I think it was released, like Tessellate, Breeze Blocks, like all of their monster songs. They just had a different sound than anything I had ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've seen them a few times. I know we've talked about the concerts that we've gone to.
Yeah.
With them. But I think that, for me, is probably the one, because like it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit out there.
Yes.
A different sound, like not your normal like run-of-the-mill kind of like rock, but it's alternative, but it sounds funky at the same time. Like, I feel like that's a pretty good one. If you were to ask me in my like pre-life like stoner days, like MGMTs,
like, oh, there you go.
That's
sure.
Like with kids, everything on it, that was pretty good. But no, yeah. I think An Awesome Wave, probably, at least right now how I'm currently constructed.
Yeah,
I think that would be it.
I get that. Is there a movie that you would say? Again, the idea here is if someone met you and it's like, get to know me, but I don't have 5 years to get to know you, it's like, well, go listen to that album, go watch this movie, and tomorrow come back to me and see if we'd probably have a lot out of the way. You know, we'd be able to say, oh yeah, we're not going to get along on anything because I hate both those things.
I don't know if there's a movie. There's so many. We talked about like Litmus Test
earlier
in the year. And
yes. Is there any that it's representative of like you where it comes to if like when you're watching this movie, someone would say, oh man, I enjoy this movie. You go, well, we instantly have something in common.
Yeah. I think again, it goes back to our litmus test movies. I said the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's a Wes Anderson film.
Yes.
And Wes Anderson's not for everybody. And like some of his stuff, like in the last few years, maybe not the best. Like we watched Asteroid City. I'm like, that's not really that good. The French Dispatch, I didn't really love it, but the Grand Budapest Hotel with Ralph Fiennes, it's incredible. Like there's so many like good funny lines in there. It's Wes Anderson. It's wacky. It's kind of zany.
Yeah.
It's quirky.
Well, this is the thing. I think if someone saw you, you're like a tall guy, former football player, you know, they might assume like, oh, okay, this guy likes what a lot of like big ex jocks like. I don't know that a lot of ex-jocks
Michael
walk
Bay,
around.
Transformers.
Yeah, right. So like
Fast and Furious.
I think that speaks well to like, yes, but also I'm a man who likes very alternative music. I like a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah.
That shows the depth of Beam. And I think that's...
I have beers every Friday at Studio 35, right on Indianola.
Right. But not necessarily like, we're at B-dubs. Not that there's anything wrong with B-dubs.
Right.
It's just, if people thought that of looking at you, they would be wrong
about
you.
I like a B-dubs.
I do too. But I'm saying they would be wrong in assuming that that's all you like.
By the way, B-dubs, first original location here in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
I just found that out a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it used to be Buffalo Wild Wings
and
Weck, which when I found that out and it was BW3 and it was the third W was Weck. Where the hell's the Weck at? Bring the Weck back.
So see, I didn't even know what Weck was.
Oh, the Weck
but I had
is
to
like
find
a,
out.
Is a Western New York delicacy.
Yeah. It's like a Buffalo. It's literally in Buffalo. That was what they would do.
Buffalo.
Right?
They had Buffalo wings and Weck. So it's the beef on Weck and it's like a roast beef sandwich, like a sliced beef sandwich, and then Weck is the kind of bread. It's kind of like a salty, it's Weck. It's not a salted rye. It's a Weck bread. Like that's what it is. But when we went there last year, we went up to Niagara Falls, Meredith hadn't been there before, so we went to Pittsburgh and Niagara Falls as our baby moon, like very extravagant.
I see. Okay.
And we went to this place. I think it was called Barbill Tavern, and it was in Buffalo, or maybe Amherst. It was somewhere up there.
Yeah.
And we waited like. It was like 11 o'clock on a random Saturday. We're like, oh, we'll get in here for the, you know, college football games. And Meredith's pregnant at the time, so she's not drinking.
Yeah.
She doesn't love Buffalo wings or beef on Weck. But I'm like, this is what you do when you're in Buffalo. You got to do this.
Yeah.
And so the lady's like, it's going to be a 2-hour wait. I'm like, 2 hours? That's Crazy town.
Gosh. Wow.
And so then I found a spot at the bar. Meredith's outside waiting, and I'm like texting her. And I'm like, hey, why don't you come up here? I got a spot for you. It's good. She's like, I can't drink. I'm like, they don't know that. You're early into the pregnancy. Like, that's fine. You don't have to drink.
Yeah, you
but
can sit
there.
But
then we slid in a couple of bar seats, and they had the beef on, like, the back counter, and they were just hand carving it right there.
Oh, my gosh.
They had some horseradish.
Man, this is the thing about you that I really enjoy is – you are a traveler and you go for it. Like, you don't
Buffalo and Pittsburgh.
I'm saying, like, what? No, but you're not. We didn't go to Buffalo and then be like, well, I guess we're going to hit like the Walmart and an Olive Garden and then call it a day. Like, you were like, no, we're in Buffalo. We're doing the Buffalo stuff.
Yeah.
You go to Portland, Maine. You will have a recommendation on a good seafood shack. And I know
Shipyard
that.
Shipyard Brewing.
Yeah.
Straight over there.
Exactly. Yes. Paul Keel's favorite, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think we went there too a couple of years. It's tremendous.
I think that's right. But I'm just saying. So that's, see, this is a good exercise. Play this game with your friends, folks. You got Thanksgiving coming up.
What food? What food would you say?
Ooh, for me?
Yeah.
To get to know me.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that I eat all, pizza. You know what? Here, it's pizza. But here's what I would say. If you want to know something about me, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Because if you say Taco Bell to someone and they go, ugh, really? I love a nice taco truck, you know, by the side of the road or a hole in the wall Mexican place, like authentic. Give me that all day. I love it. I love anything I can find. I want to explore I need to learn more. I know that what I eat is mostly Tex-Mex. I want to get into the real authentic stuff. But if you turn down Taco Bell, it's not that you think it's not good Mexican food. You just don't understand good fast food.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand good fast food, then it's going to be tough to relate to me because I eat a lot of fast food. And I'm just saying, I don't look down on it. I don't think that's a bad thing. I had an egg this morning. I had a sausage McMuffin with egg. It may have been the best one I've ever had at a McDonald's.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Like, they made it. I was eating it going, the egg's perfect.
Fluffy egg.
The egg was super fluffy. Yeah. The English muffin was like it had been freshly made. I know it wasn't, but it was it was fluffy. The sausage wasn't dry. It was juicy. The cheese, perfectly.
It can dry out on
you. The little corners were just melted just a should have taken a picture. My point is, fast food can have great experiences too. And if you don't think that, and you're like, ugh, fast food.
It's the bad ones that make it good.
Yeah. Sometimes you get some horrible experience where they gave you three things. What's in the bag, baby? That's right. Well, play this game with your friends or family. You've got Thanksgiving coming up. I'm sure you're going to talk to some people you hate. This will be an easy way to kind of break the ice, you know? Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Mine's beef on weck.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Beef on weck, of course. There you go. No, what is there another food that you would – because I know you –
I don't know. There's
you're a big sushi guy.
Yeah.
I would say that's something that if – like I'm not – I'm getting into sushi.
If you
but
can't go over to Tensuke Market and enjoy all of the delicacies that they provide, we're not going to get along.
Well, it's I would even say – I don't think you would outwardly, well, maybe you would hate
would,
someone who
yeah,
does like sushi. But it would be like if you were to say, wow, let's hang out often. And then you know, the person's like, what do you want to get to eat? And you're like, sushi. And they go, ugh.
So
it's going to be hard to hang out with you because that's a thing you really like.
During COVID, I got really into cooking like that. Since we were at home, I'm like, all right, well, I want to learn how to cook a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm okay. But I watched a lot of Anthony Bourdain, and he had an episode of, I want to say it was Unknown Parts or Unknown Place, Destination Unknown, whatever. His CNN
one
show.
Of, yeah, yeah.
And he was talking to Masa, who was like this very heralded sushi chef in New York. And then he went back to Japan and like took his sushi operation back there. And he said, you know, what I used to do, and this is Bourdain talking to Masa, and he said, what I used to do is if we were on a first or second date, I would take my date there to see how they would react. And if they were grossed out or like didn't know anything about like this world, he's like, I would be happy to, you know, guide them through.
Yeah.
He's like, but if they were out on that and couldn't do it, he goes, I knew that was the end of the relationship right there.
I'm saying, like, you have to have shared experiences to have what is friendship anyway, right? It's a love, care for someone else, but it's also you got to have some common things. You got to, like, I feel like I've spent time in my life, unfortunately, trying to like make everyone like me to a point that I have to like everything they like. And I've gotten older and realized it's okay to just like what you like and realize not everyone's going to like that. And we don't all have to, doesn't mean you can't be friends.
Like when you tell me that Alt-J sucks and you hate that.
No, that's not it at all. It's more like you want to go like dancing and go out to the club until 3 a.m. I'm all, let's do it. Like when I was 20, call me anytime. I'm up. Let's go. I'll do whatever you want to do. Now it's like, I know I don't like that. Yeah. Not that I don't like going out to see music. I don't like to dance. I am not a...
You're a mosher.
Like, yeah, I'll slam into you. I'm not going to like just sit there and dance. I don't have moves. I'm not as big on pop music. Now, if it's a wedding and they're playing pop music, I'll try my best to be a part of the festivities. But if you're like, I live to dance, it's going
to
be
and
tough.
And I dance to live.
Right. It's going to be tough for us to like go out all the time.
That's why Mike Bennett and I are best friends, because since the age of 16 years old, we have done nothing but want to sit in a basement and play video
FIFA,
games.
Right.
That's it.
And
that's
other
it.
Video games. Yeah, that's right. It makes total sense.
Hey, do you guys want to go out tonight? No, we're busy.
That's good. That's a good friendship. Exactly right. All right. Well, speaking of FIFA, I'm sure a team that will probably be hoisting the FIFA Club World Cup at some point in the near future, the Columbus Crew, they took on the Five Stripes, which whatever. Atlanta can have their dumb nickname. They can also be bounced in the first round.
They can also take their stupid jerseys that they wore at home into the offseason and reworkshop that.
By the way, pick a jersey, Atlanta.
The jerseys they wore in this last game, the do or die game against the Crew, were awesome.
Those are great, like the mint greens.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I want to say that they tried, I thought I heard this, that Atlanta tried to wear those graffiti black, which now, you didn't like them. I thought they were kind of cool, but they look nothing like Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's jerseys, they're basic jerseys. Yeah. Great. They're actually kind of nice for MLS. They're not like everybody else's jerseys. They're red, gold, little black. Nice. They wanted to wear that black jersey that they wore in the second game to Crew Stadium, and the Crew said, sorry, we're wearing black here. You can go F off. And so then that made them change to the third kit, which is the mint green, which I think actually looked better. But, yeah, I don't know why you couldn't just wear your, like, actual jerseys that you have for the season.
I don't know why you were so nervous about this game. I told you not to be.
You're right. And I was thinking about that watching the game. I'm like, I shouldn't have been nervous. I should have known Darlington Nabby was going to hit a banger from outside the box.
That's all he does. Malte Amundsen scoring the best goal of all time.
You
drop any goalkeeper in the world.
Not stopping.
No.
I mean,
no.
The argument was maybe Guzan was a little high off his line.
Who cares?
But also, have you watched modern soccer? What in that spot, what goalie is going to be planted with his heels on the goal line?
Nobody.
That's not how the game works right now. No one's doing that. These guys are trying to jump anything that's coming into the box. They're trying to be quick. They're trying to make sure they gobble that up before anything else. They're not going to sit back and wait and let the play overtake them. So on that, if you get beat by a shot like that, you tip your cap. Brad Guzan's not a small goalie. He's a reasonably sized, tall guy who can play. He knows his positioning well. Been in the league forever. Done this for a long time. And he got beat by a great shot.
It was an awesome Amundsen shot,
just had a ridiculous goal. I will say, Beam, I said this on Twitter, and I tried to self-evaluate, you know, go back in my head. I don't think I've ever seen two combined better goals in 20 minutes in a Crew game. Like, in the first 20 minutes of a Crew game. I'm sure there's been a 20-minute stretch where I've seen a couple really awesome goals that I'm forgetting. But in the first 20 minutes of a game, I don't ever recall seeing not one but two goals where I'm like, holy, and like made me jump out of my seat kind of goals.
Well, Darlington's was so good because you could see it coming from a mile away. Like, as soon as he touched that ball, like, he kind of had a long touch on it. It's like, all right, I'm going to run into it. And usually when you try to hit that shot, of like if you go back to 2020, like Derek Etienne kind of had that. I know he was further outside of the post and not straight on.
Yeah.
But like you could kind of see what's going to come here. And Darlington's like, you know what? I'm going to slide this near post because Brad Guzan
keeps getting beat to that near post.
Cheating. Stop cheating, man. He slides it right into that left corner and it was going fast enough to beat him, but slow enough that, I mean, he had to, like, it seemed like 3 seconds to try and figure out where he's going to go. And he does the full stretch and he can't get there. That was beautiful. And then the Amundsen goal, I mean, man, what do you even say about it?
It was a thing of beauty. Just so that put the Crew up 2-0. And
your boy.
Well,
3-0.
Yeah, that's right. Because then we had All Hail Matan, which Alexander Matan.
And then I tweeted out, have fun in the offseason. And then Atlanta immediately scored.
Well, I found in this game, the Crew, they always say like 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in soccer. It's actually for the Crew, it was a 3-goal lead in this game. It's like once we got up 3 goals, Atlanta was like, hold on a second. No, we're not going to be embarrassed and lose by 3. We're going to get a goal and then do diddly squat for the rest of the time. And then you're going to score again.
And we're going to get a goal.
Oh, hey.
And then
Thiago,
hey, I told you that Thiago Almeida free kick.
Yes.
It was going to be there. And he,
and
what? Played it out to a player?
Yeah. He tried to cross it in, and it just, and nobody could get on the end of it. It went out. We dodged such a bullet when I saw that. I was thinking about
texting you. I'm like, all right, here's your free kick.
We got it. Yeah. Oh, it was. I was extremely worried about it. And I had it on Apple TV. I was not at the game, but I had Chris Doran on.
Same.
And
Doran was talking
some mad game about Almeida, which rightfully so.
What did he say? He had an awesome line. He was like, he's well equipped and confident enough to take this. And then he hits the ball. And he's like, I guess he's not as confident as I thought he was.
Yes. It was awesome. It was such a good, Doran is a legend and he's so great. Good. And I just enjoyed hearing his call as we always do. And of course, you can hear that on The Fan when there's not other programming, but you can't hear it. For what it's worth, the Orlando City game, which is obviously not this weekend, it's coming up. When you're listening to Soccer Podcast, it is the weekend after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It is the Saturday of a little college football game called The Game between Ohio State and Michigan. So even though the crew game is at 5, there will be post-game coverage on The Fan that we are contractually obligated to do.
Who does that post-game coverage?
Among others, is you and Timmy Hall. Yeah. So you will hear Beam talking about The Game. But Chris Doran will be on what's called HD3 for The Fan. As I understand it, I think that's correct. And so you can go find that either on our website, 971thefan.com. Just at the bottom, there's a player. You hit the little arrow up. It'll say 971 WBNS, 1460 ESPN, or HD3. Hit that. That's how you get to the HD3. It's also, if you have an HD radio, you can click on it, turn to HD3. Yeah. Or you can go on the app. It'll be there too. Now, there's also Buckeye basketball that night, so that's what's going to be on the AM, I'm pretty sure. If you're wondering why is it not on the AM, that's why. So, but that was a great game. Finished off Atlanta. I am nervous about Orlando in one sense, because they've been really good all year. However, the crew have been the best offense in MLS.
Yep.
They put up 3 goals against Orlando in the last game they played. And then we know what happened. Orlando, you gave up 2 set pieces, and Orlando came back and won that game. But I'm more focused on you can get 3. You can go beat Orlando. You can go down there and score goals. You know you can. So defensively, I think they played much better. Dude, Giakoumakis was mostly like pedestrian because they put Rudy Camacho on him, and he said, not today, buddy.
Camacho, macho man.
He did great.
I want to be Camacho man.
Yeah. I'm saying I feel much better about this back line going into this Orlando game than I did the Atlanta series. So I'm happy about
that. Yeah, I feel pretty good. I mean, you obviously were in a position to beat them down there earlier in the season, and you peed down your leg and you gave that away.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question, and this question then becomes neighbor Eric's question of the week. And I think this is a question that a lot of crew fans have, and it's a pretty good one. And that question being, if I can find Eric's phone number on my phone, it's to when he texted me this. Hypothetically, if the crew win the next round and make it past Orlando, would you rather play Cincy away because it would be the ultimate hell is real? Or, since we're better at home, choose Philly as a, quote, easier path to MLS Cup? So do you want the road game in hell is real, or would you rather see a home game back here at the Death Star?
I'll tell you, a neighbor Eric asked a really good question, because the obvious answer seems to be initially for me, you want the home game. Here's the thing. An FC Cincinnati is tremendous, and they've got players who clearly know how to get it done in the playoffs and have experience, right? But Philadelphia has also been there, done that a lot in the playoffs. This is not new to them. Mm-hmm. I am a little more nervous about facing Philadelphia than I am FC Cincinnati if it comes to that. But
if they get past Orlando, obviously.
Well, yeah, you have to beat Orlando, which is not a given at all. And I know I don't want people to think we're saying it is, but this question of, what would be, I mean, you have a chance to have hell is real in the playoffs for a berth into the MLS Cup.
Yeah. For a berth to host MLS Cup.
Well, too. Yeah, that's the other
because
thing.
Because all 4 teams
whoever
remaining
wins out
in
of the
East
will host.
Because everybody in the West did not have enough points, many points as the 4 teams remaining in the East.
Yeah, and I don't even remember. St. Louis may have, but they got eliminated.
Yeah, right.
They got bounced. They lost to the 8 seed, Kansas City, which, again, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Kansas City has a lot of dudes who've been there, done that. Their system, they've done this, you know. That's what I think Philadelphia brings a little bit more of than FC Cincinnati. But my nerves could not handle a road game in the tickle.
But imagine beating them in their stadium.
Imagine
to get to
losing to them, though. That's the thing. I don't want that to happen.
Let those thoughts creep in.
Okay. Well, Negative Bone says we got to beat Orlando first. So let's just focus on that.
I say host a game.
I want to host. I want to have two more. I would love to have two home games to see out the season.
Same.
Be incredible. I hope it happens for all the Crew fans. This is what we deserve. But we got to get to Orlando first. We'll have more thoughts on that, I'm sure, next week as we get closer to that game. We'll take a break, come back. We will talk about some awesome news for women's soccer. We'll get into that next. It is Bone and Beam United. Of course, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. How are you feeling about the Crew's game coming up against Orlando? Do you feel confident? Feel a little nervous? I will say, I forgot to bring this up. Wilfried Nancy is one of the most interesting dudes to ever coach in Columbus and certainly to ever coach in MLS. He had a quote where he said that he told the team not to look at the scoreboard, which, I mean,
hard not to. It's rather hard not large. To.
Yes, but well, especially in a game where it's like, if we win this game, we're through. If we lose, we're not. But his whole thing has been, I don't want you to play for a result. I want you to play the way you're supposed to play.
It's a good message.
Yeah, it's basically like, don't get too high, don't get too low. Just keep doing the things we do, and it will work. And it's worked to the tune of 67 goals, which is I'm pretty sure a club record, the club record, and it was best in the league this year. So he also has said, you know, I'm okay with you give up a big goal the other way, but you are playing the way that we're supposed to and you're getting goals, occasionally we're going to give one up. So it's a lot different than what you hear from most coaches who are in playoff type of soccer, right? Where you're going to say, we want you to.
Now, if you're up by a goal,
you got to be careful and all that stuff.
If you're up by a goal down in Orlando and it's 6 minutes left to go.
Yeah, Well, here's the thing, though.
Are you still preaching that?
I think you've got to play, but I think.
They don't care about defense, like the way that they played against Atlanta. Nothing to say that they don't care about defense. It is not to the point where you feel like they have a leash on them, say, okay, we're done scoring goals. We're going to pack guys in the box.
No.
They're not doing that.
That's what I didn't want them. Like they went into halftime up, 3-1?
Yeah.
I said, don't park the bus. Go keep playing. Keep playing.
And Diego Rossi scored 2 minutes into the second half.
Yeah, right, which, by the way, didn't even mention him. Thank you, Diego Rossi, for showing up, and that was a great game.
Yep.
He played his best game in the black and gold so far in that game where you needed him to.
I tweeted. I said, here's you talking shit on the podcast.
He heard me. He apparently, or someone got it to him, I guess. But either way, glad he showed
Cucho,
up.
You didn't show up last game.
No. Cucho was great. Cucho is taking. And by the way, Cucho with the Spider-Man mask.
Oh, it's so
love
good.
Love it. I love it. It was everything right at the end, too, where it's like, all right, we'll see you next time. Mm-hmm. Thanks for playing. I got the real mask out here.
He would have scored, he's 1,000%.
Oh, I know that mask was going to come out. But
he was going to bury that free kick, which went off the post.
Uh huh.
And he was going to go to the back. I don't know if he had it on the sideline. I don't know if he had it somewhere on his body. He was going to pull that sucker out put it on.
Oh,
and then a giant fight would have ensued.
Oh my gosh.
How about the shithousery out of Rossi too? Get off the field. He was
downfield. Yeah, well, that's what I said. It's like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
And it's like, this is that's what his job is there, is to frustrate Atlanta. People always, I think, forget that when it's like, oh man, the time he's wasting, they're just going to give it back in stoppage time. One, never accurate the stoppage time.
They gave 4 minutes. It should have been like 9.
Yeah. Two, it gets the other team frustrated and mad and off their game and thinking about something that is not the next thing they have to do. It's now thinking about this guy sucks, which is perfect. Great. Get everybody agitated. It gives your guys a break, gives them some time to rest, regroup. They should all be over there talking about what they're going to do as you're just over there kind of messing around. But almost got, you know, guys thrown out of a game. You had a fight going on.
Yeah.
Brad Guzan is over there like trying to. Which, by the way, Brad Guzan standing next to Alexander Mattan. I know a lot of people standing next to Alexander Mattan look tall, but I was like, is Brad Guzan 7 feet tall?
Yes.
I missed that. Okay. Anyway, so plenty more Crew discussion next week on this. All right, now U.S. women's team. They have appointed Chelsea's head coach, Emma Hayes, as their new coach. Now, this will not take effect until the end of the Super League, the Women's Super League in England, which is where she currently, of course, is coaching Chelsea still. When their season ends, which I looked it up, is not till the middle of May, just like the Premier League.
That's okay.
So she's going to be there still for a long time, you know, the rest of this season. But she's a great head coach. She has had a lot of success. And they are paying her close to what Greg Berhalter is making, which
good.
Is rumored to be 1.6 $1.6 million. So they said that's not necessarily a reflection of equal pay, although, I mean, it should be, but it's more of the fact of this is just what it takes to get her to leave Chelsea. So I'll say kudos to the U.S. Soccer Federation for going out and make it a good hire here. I like this hire.
I mean, how about this? 335 games as of right now, as of today.
Yeah.
She's been at Chelsea for 11 years. This is her 11th year over there. 335 games managed, 237 wins, 40 draws, and 58 losses.
Yeah.
That's a winning percentage of 71%.
I mean, she's essentially built the women's program there at Chelsea, which obviously is, you know, a pretty good one. So
FIFA Coach of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Manager of the season like five times, six different times. I mean, she's a Hall of Famer, what she does. You want to recover from the disaster of the World Cup that you just had?
Mm-hmm.
This was the way to do it. And they're splashing the pot, and I couldn't love it anymore.
Well, and this is the other thing I'll say that makes sense to me is Chelsea clearly has a lot of high-priced talent. You could make the case, well, and this would be the case for the men's team, where you'd be concerned and say, yeah, well, this coach does well when he has a bunch of high-priced talent. What's he going to do when he comes to the U.S. national team? And you have a bunch of good players, but not maybe the greatest in the world. How do you get them going? That's not her problem.
Yeah.
She comes to the women's national team, she will have the best players in the world, and just she like has, she has at Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's going to be something that I think matters and is important. You have to, like Phil Jackson, you had to... People always say with
Neymar
him,
Eric
with the
has no clue. Who Phil Jackson
was a guy who liked to smoke peyote and was a Zen master who occasionally coached basketball teams to gigantic championship victories.
Yep.
Multiple franchises, multiple three-peats.
Innovated the triangle.
Yeah.
Found out pace, space, and angles.
Could be the greatest basketball coach of all time, according to some. Anyway, but Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, all these guys. And people say, well, of course, you can win championships when you have all those dudes. Yeah, but you have to get their egos in line. You have to get everybody to play in one fashion together. And that is the deal when you're managing the U.S. women's national team. You got to deal with the old guard, and now that a lot of those players are going to be gone. So you got to get that young group now that are elite talent, you got to get them to develop into what they're supposed to be, right? People like Rose Lavelle kind of become now the next, they're the senior leaders on this team.
Yeah.
That generation now, how do they fit into that role where maybe it's not getting by just on pure talent alone anymore? Now you got to use your wily veteran savvy, that kind of thing. This is where a coach that has 11 years coaching at a very high level is going to have a great insight into how to do that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see it. When they came down with the news a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I was pumped.
absolutely
pumped that they made this hire.
Yeah,
she's a rock star.
She is. So this is a huge deal and very excited about that. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Obviously, there will be more. You know, the World Cup's not until 2027 for the women, so plenty of time there. I'm not too worried about the timeline for her to get things right. It does suck, you know, that you're not going to have her around for the 6 months that you could, but it's fine.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
No. And also, this, I think, is really interesting, and you sent this my way. Union Berlin making some history.
Yeah. And your gals over at Union, your Bundesliga team, aren't they?
Union Berlin, I'm sorry, yes.
They have hired the first ever female coach in Bundesliga history. So it's not going their way. Urs Fischer, who was the coach in charge, she got fired this past week. And, I mean, it's, you know, this happens in soccer, right? I mean, managers get axed like all the time. I feel like we could do probably a show every week for the entire year talking about managers all over the world getting fired. MLS, Premier League, Serie A, like, it's just, it's crazy. But how about this? Marie-Louise Etta is to be an assistant to interim head coach Marco Grote, with a pairing having working together at the club's U19s until Fischer's dismissal. Union are in the middle of a 9-game losing run. It's left them at the bottom of the table in the Bundesliga. It's crazy to think what's happened there. I mean, they were pretty good and pretty bad. Like, it shows you how volatile that league is. She's 32 years old. She played in the Frauen Bundesliga.
Which, by the way, I know that's the German word for women, but I love, like, Frauen Bundesliga.
Yeah.
It's just
German, isn't it?
It is. It's very, yes. You could not, like, what league is this? What world, what part of the world is that in? You don't need to ask any more questions when you hear it's Frauen Bundesliga. You're like, okay, it's a German something or other.
Got that. So here's what they said in a statement. I mean, they finished fourth last year in the Bundesliga, got into the Champions League.
Yeah. They had a huge year last year.
Yeah. And so now they're firing their coach, and it said Union Berlin and their head coach Urs Fischer are going their separate ways with immediate effect. The joint decision was taken by Union president Dirk Zingler, of course, and Fischer in person during a meeting on Monday afternoon. I mean, the fact that we're going to have the first female coach in Bundesliga history, though, like that's pretty big, man.
Yeah, I think it speaks to something that I'm surprised more people aren't ready for this, but this is not, it should not be breaking news. We just talked about Emma Hayes. If Emma Hayes took over the men's team, I would have no problem with that.
No.
Like, I know that she's not. I know she's taking over the women's team, and that's a great hire. But it's not about – I've never understood that logic that a woman can't coach men any more than the logic is, well, there's a lot of men who work at this office, so a woman could not be the boss of those men.
Don't men coach women?
Right. I mean, that just should snap it. But again, if your argument is, oh, well, that's different. Why? Because you assume men to be able to coach better than women? Like, yeah. Again, you have to check your biases on that. Now, I had a unique experience that I think helped me with this when I was in seventh grade. I got to junior high basketball practice, and we didn't know who the coach was. And there was a new English teacher named Amy Swangham. And Miss Swangham was all of 4'11", maybe 5 feet tall. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to paint a picture. She was not like the most slender person in the world. She did not look very athletic, right? We found out she had played basketball in high school. She had played at a small Christian college where she went. And, you know, I mean, we all have put on weight or whatever. But, like, at the time, you just would have seen this woman walk around school. You never would have thought basketball coach, right? If you'd seen, like, a 6'2", you know, like, athletic person, maybe you would have thought, oh, they play basketball. Never would have thought she was a basketball player. Turned out she knew a lot about basketball. She taught me a ton about the game. She was our coach. And we won the little junior high league that we were in. And she was, I mean, she'd scream at us. She'd slam down clipboards. I mean, turns out once that whistle blows, doesn't really matter what's between your legs.
Yep.
Like, you can either coach or you can't. She was a great coach. She was one of the best coaches I had all through youth baseball, youth basketball, playing in high school. I really enjoyed playing for her. And it helped me get over that at a very young age that, like, yeah, like, people ask that, what are they going to do in the locker room? She would come in, yell at us, leave, and then we would change.
Yeah.
And then someone would say, we're ready for you to come back in. And then she'd come back in and continue talking about whatever we had to do, you know, for the next game or whatever. So, yeah, once practice started the first time, I got over real quick.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, because we still had to run line drills. We still had to make our layups. We still had to do all the stuff. And she was just as demanding as any male coach I ever had, and more so than some that I had. So, yeah, it was I'm saying I don't know why that's been a thing for so long in pro sports, but it will continue to change, and I think that's good. So
I think it's awesome news out of the Bundesliga.
Yeah, especially I'll give credit to, and watch this in the NBA, Becky Hammon, who's the two-time defending champ of the WNBA with the Las Vegas Aces. She coached under Pop, like, at San Antonio. There is, I could see 100% if he ever steps down that she could be the person who takes over him, or she'll get another job if not. I mean, she will coach in the NBA. She will be the first female coach in the NBA. I'm convinced of that. Last thing real quick, and you put this on the sheet, and it's worth bringing up here. So there is a dude getting a call up for Brazil.
Endrick
is on his way. Now, he is a guy that I believe Real Madrid has already spent, what, 50-some million dollars?
He's 17 years old.
This guy, man, this is a big deal.
In Brazil, they have already likened him and said that he's going to be better than Romario. They're, like, already on, like, he's playing in the Brazilian league right now.
Here's the thing. He played 7 times for Palmeiras.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid was like, we've seen enough. Here's 52 million pounds. Okay. Okie dokie. So I did see, he's joining Brazil for training for the national team, got the call up.
Yeah, for the World Cup qualifiers.
I will try to see if I can remember to tweet this out from Bone Beam United on Twitter, but I went and found this video of some of the training, and I don't know if you've seen this. Who's the big dude for Arsenal? Their defender from Brazil, Gabriel Magalhães, I believe, right? Like, there's a video of him in training where Endrick receives a pass out of the back, like at the midfield, and gets just completely bodied by Gabriel Magalhães, and just, it was like, welcome to Brazil, buddy. Like, it was very interesting to see, and it also, I think, is a It's a good video to show anybody who's like, yeah, soccer's not that physical. Okay, go watch that.
Yeah, but for a 17-year-old to be doing this, I mean,
yeah, like,
again, any nation, a call-up when you're a 17-year-old, like, that's pretty good to
get called into Brazil.
Into Brazil.
At 17.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, Pete. So a guy to keep an eye on for sure. Obviously, those of us who watch Real Madrid, we will get to see him, and that will be fun. And yes, that is good.
No pressure, so, kid.
Not any pressure at all in that regard. So he has agreed to this deal, by the way, for Real Madrid. He can't go until he turns 18 in July next year.
Yeah.
So you have a whole year of him not playing for, but they're like, we don't even care. We'll just go ahead and let's get him
well,
in.
Well, he signed with him a year ago. Like, yeah, this is when he was 16.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they're already like, yeah, 50 mil for this kid.
Yeah, we're good. So, all right. That's all we've got today. Again, thanks for listening, as always. If you get a chance to, rate the program, we'd appreciate that. If not, it's also fine with us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, and go Crew next week. And more on that coming up in the next episode. See you then. It's Bone and BB9.